I have one mother, I have one father, and I have one blood uncle. And he is my guest on today's podcast. It's my Uncle John. And in all seriousness, my aunt and my uncle, I have a lot of aunts, and they've all contributed to my upbringing, and I'm grateful for that. And my uncle has also contributed in many ways. I would consider him, could I say, can we mesh friend and uncle and say friendicle? I don't know. I don't know if that sounds okay. But I told him before we opened this podcast today, I don't know if I've laughed other than laughing at myself, if I've laughed very much on this podcast. And I hope that this will be a mixture of, you know, a lot of laughter and maybe a little bit of tears, but everything coming through very happy and positive. My fondest memories growing up with my Uncle John probably start at the lake. We were raised on Lake Lemon every summer. And I believe you were even raised on Lake Lemon as a kid.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Uncle Harold had a cabin before Jeff and your dad did.
Yeah. And Uncle Harold is my paternal grandfather. My grandpa Harry is my paternal grandfather. Harold was his brother.
His youngest brother.
And he had a lake down there that you guys would go down with cousins and spend time down there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we were just talking about the different, and I said, can you tell that story from Lake Lemon? And it was actually, you said this story, and I said no, and you said, what about this story? And I said, actually, that's not the one either. And so I want you to tell the story that we just talked about that we were going to open up with, and that it's not just this story. I mean, I actually have a very minimal memory of it happening, but how much joy it has brought, personally, my dad retelling the story and seeing how funny and how hard it made him laugh. It brought me joy.
Me and him actually haven't talked about that much.
Really?
I didn't realize how, humorous. I mean, it was very humorous, but at the same time, it was frightening.
It was terrifying, because, right?
Yeah, well, not necessarily terrifying, but we had just went past at least two, maybe more,
right,
very large, aggressive dogs. And going by on a four-wheeler is one thing, but having to walk back, it was like walking the gauntlet. That's why I put so much effort, actually, into taking the headlight off.
Being visible.
Yeah, yeah. And having a good stick. I mean, yeah. I just put a little bit of effort into the stick.
I don't think that so just to be clear, my dad is number four of five children, and he had three older sisters, and then he was born, and then you were born. You were the baby of five.
The baby.
Yeah. So this is, I'm going to say late 80s, you think? Early 90s?
That is a good one.
It's somewhere around there.
It would have to be, I'm thinking the 80s would have been when I was in high school at 82.
Oh, we're way after that.
Yeah. But it was before Dad was at Sherman Drive.
Yes. No. No? Yes.
I wish I had better memories of that. But
well, your mother died in 1986, right? Or 85? 85, 86? And I know it was after that.
I was 21. I know that. I was born in 64. I mean, I've got pencil and paper here, but my math, I'm horrible at that kind of math and those kind of memories.
Well, I'm going to say I was born in 1981, and I was about 8 or 9, okay? So I was about 8 or 9 years old. So.
And this was when we were, this was when we were at Riddle Point Park still. This wasn't when the cabin, so that would give it a time factor also.
Okay. So how did it start? Everybody was
that's the thing. I wish I could remember the mileage, but the four-wheeler I had didn't have a speedometer. But it was a long ways to go all the way around the lake at night.
Right.
And it wasn't really legal either, but yet it wasn't completely frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
But where I eventually went off-road, I got ahead of everybody on purpose.
Right.
And I was going to try to hide under some branches. and then let them go by and then come up behind them.
And this was a common thing for the adults in the group to go on these night four-wheeler rides,
absolutely.
Correct?
Yeah. After partaking with a fair amount of beverage, actually,
sure.
Which I'm not trying to,
whatever.
But
I remember.
It was at great risk sometimes and high speed sometimes.
Sure, sure. So as far as I remember, there was dinner and then there were adult drinks. The kids would get in their pajamas and stay with a babysitter, and everybody'd take off on four-wheelers. Sometimes they'd have a female on the back, sometimes they wouldn't.
Babysitter? No. No, I wouldn't remember that part myself, but I'm sure somebody stayed behind.
Well, Jeff and Judy always provided. Like, they brought a neighborhood girl to watch all of us for the weekend.
I know on one trip. I know on one trip when my actual wife, my first and second wife being the same, she went on a ride, but she was pretty inebriated, and she wore out one of my fenders on my oversized tires. She was wobbling around. And to the day I sold the four-wheeler, people would ask me, how did you burn that fender so bad?
Yeah.
And it's because my rather wide ex-wife was riding on the back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was something that was done – almost every weekend. One of the nights of the weekend, we would go for it.
Right.
But I got way, way ahead and went to go under some branches, mm-hmm. but didn't realize the gravel where the branches were was the edge of the road, and it was somewhat of a drop-off. And I literally dropped off, somewhat airborne for at least a few feet. I'm not going to exaggerate, but I hit a tree on my side, and the quad kind of got bound up in the saplings, and it sucked. And then as I look up, meow, 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 wow, wow, there everybody goes by. And I was sort of embarrassed that I was down in the woods, and I could have maybe hollered, but then I thought, well, they'll see me,
right,
and they'll come back. Well, they didn't come back. They went the rest of the way around the lake, and then I thought, I just physically did not have the ability to get the four-wheeler. I got it as close as I could, but I couldn't get it up on the road. And like I said, I was worried about the dog, and it was definitely a little bit shorter to go back through the gauntlet of the dogs.
Okay.
And so I dismantled one of my headlights off of a, I believe it was a, well, that wouldn't tell it. It was an 82.
Okay.
Man, that just doesn't seem...
No, 82, it was way after 82. It was way after 82.
Then it was an 87, I think. I wished I could remember best. Okay. It's the only new vehicle I've ever owned was the quad. But it must have been 87. That's ringing a bell.
That sounds a lot right about mm-hmm. when we were down there my age.
Yeah. And this being almost a brand new quad, and I'm dismantling it, the headlight, to put the headlight around my neck with a strap, so I've got light to walk back.
Right.
And I did encounter the dogs, but was able to keep them at bay.
Yeah.
And two, being at night, Lake Lemon's not a bad neighborhood, let's say. But
no.
If dogs are barking and someone's out on the road walking, you don't want to draw any unwanted friendly fire.
Exactly. And I think there were probably that would have been easy to come by down
potentially,
there.
Potentially,
yeah.
And that's where the rest of me coming on around. Oh, I know, though. You guys came in the van.
We did?
Yeah, you came in your dad's big, nice van.
My dad had a beautiful blue custom van.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody's just laughing their ass off. And here I am walking down there with a stick and a headlight strapped around my neck like a dollar sign on a rap singer or something. But I just, I knew it was funny to people, but I just didn't realize that, but I'm not around David that much, though, I guess.
I feel like, to be transparent, and that's kind of the theme here.
Mm-hmm.
My father and his first cousin, Jeff, built a beautiful home down there for all of us to share and enjoy.
Yeah, a very elaborate, actually.
A lot, yeah.
Elaborate cabin. Yeah. But Jerry was in on it, too.
And Jerry, yeah, absolutely. Jeff took his own life later on, and when he died, our summers at Lake Lemon kind of died too. Absolutely.
But my summers, though, died out before that, though.
No, our summers died out before that, too, absolutely. But I just feel like...
I mean, as far as Penny and her kids.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. Yeah. That, too. Yeah.
And my girlfriend and her kids.
Her girlfriend and her kids. And, no, but it's just, like, I just felt like, yeah, they did sell the property and things happened before Jeff died.
Yeah, well, it was requested that the bus not be at the top of the hill down there.
By whom?
Jeff and Judy. Jeff, actually. More Judy than Jeff.
But I didn't realize Jeff had to be the messenger.
See?
Sure, I didn't realize that.
I've got video I hope to recover of Uncle Harold. We started that bus and actually backed that bus out of where it was up there.
Yeah, so
this is bringing back a lot of memories for me that I haven't recollected in recent times.
No, not actively. So our family had a beautiful three-story home on Lake Lemon that they built. They built with their own hands, which that means a lot for me. And I remember spending summers down there, like in the process of the building. My dad had a little pull behind pop up trailer that my brother and he stayed in during the building process. But at the top of the hill, and before Uncle Harold, did anyone convert buses to RVs?
Yeah, see, that's where we're combining the memories of the cabin.
Sure.
But the trips, most of the trips that went around the lake were from Riddle Point Park, when you could still park at Riddle Point.
Absolutely, yep.
And the bus was parked. There was a bus there then.
There were multiple buses, right? Two? I thought there were two.
There was just one of ours.
Oh, okay.
But then...
So Riddle Point, when we say Riddle Point was the camping area that was open to the public, and you would pay and park or any other kind of camping area.
Riddle Point Park, that's where the beach was and the shower house.
All those things, and that's what our family did for a long time prior to buying property and building a cabin. Yes.
That's, too, why I was a little off on the dates, I guess.
Yeah, but like you said, you've been going there in some capacity since you were a kid, it's easy to get those things mixed up, for sure. This kind of brings me to the point that I wanted to have a transparent conversation about the mental health in our family. And even talking about our cousin who took his life and mental health on both sides, and talking about, my father and Uncle John and their three sisters come from two families, and the Prossers being their father, and my grandmother's maiden name is Ryan, and her father was from Ireland, and I don't mean to be insensitive, but off the boat from Ireland.
That's what
I
had always heard.
And her mother off the boat from Italy. Our family hasn't been, we have not been the picture of mental health, to say the least. Our story continues to evolve in that, and things that we don't know and we know. However, I don't think that our family, this isn't meant to be a religious statement by any means, but our family doesn't get more than we can handle, because in my opinion, we can handle it. And that's, I'm not going to get super, super deep into it, but our family is unlike many families. And the fact that we've been dealt shitty hands at times.
Yeah, and just always come back trying to figure it out and move on, onward and upward. I mean, there's only so much you can do, where some families, would respond or act differently, I guess. Jeff, I think it's kind of interesting that his dad was a Jehovah Witness.
Sure.
And not what would be considered it's still biblical, I guess, but it's like Jeff had no clue of the saving grace or the forgiveness of the teaching of Jesus Christ.
I mean, sure.
I'm not going to try to get all religious on your show.
No,
whatever,
you don't. Okay.
But religion, though, is mental to a degree. I mean, in my opinion, it's very mental, but
very mental.
Not necessarily in a bad way. It's all pending how much you need the help that it can give. But Jeff didn't have that. Uncle Harold was hardcore Jehovah Witness. And that turned Jeff off so bad that Jeff didn't I feel that Jeff didn't know mm-hmm. that he could have forgiven himself.
Sure.
Not so much being forgiven to make it to heaven, but be forgiven to go ahead in life, be with the lady next door. That's what one of the bigger problems was with Jeff.
Sure.
Was that. But he was also, he had hair loss and was prescribed Valiums. And at a point shortly before he took his life, he would throw down Valiums like people throw down Skittles.
Sure.
And not even having any clue how many it was.
Right.
And I worked with Jeff real close to when he attempted again, and really scrambled his marbles.
Right.
And then the third time, he succeeded.
Yeah.
And I think that he was better off, and so was everybody else.
Yeah.
His wife, his kids, his brother, his nephew, my second cousin, I won't mention names. But if he would have stayed around, he really scrambled his marbles. He killed a lot of brain cells.
Yeah. So you think inevitably that it was overwhelming guilt and his inability to forgive himself that led to.
Yes, and an overwhelming amount of excessive always reminding him from his wife, I believe.
Oh, okay. No, I mean, no, I know very little. Like, I have very positive memories of them, and that's how I'll leave it. I mean,
yeah, that does get a little.
It gets, yeah, it
involved.
Does.
Involved. I don't want to overly say stuff, but at the same time, I'm not going to say anything that's not kind of commonly thought of different people, but. Yeah,
no,
the whole thing, if there's nothing good to say, maybe it's best not to say too much. But
my biggest memory was that's the first time I ever saw my dad cry, was at that funeral.
Yeah, and Jeff was actually a mess. Eyebrows or his eyelashes were somewhat removed from the heat, I think, or something. They put them back on, and they were sort of crisscrossed, sort of looked like stitches, the way I remember. And I just thought, man, that looks horrible.
Yeah.
And I mean, nobody's a big fan of funerals, but
yeah.
I really would have rather remembered him.
And not saw the casket.
Not seen him in the casket.
Yeah,
same way with my mom. I mean, I should have not. I did not want to go see her
because
I was pretty positive of what I was going to see. And it was exactly what I thought. She did not look like my mom at all. But I sort of felt like I had to because
everybody
went from that one room to the other.
Yeah.
You know?
Jeff committed suicide 10 years to the day of your mom's death. I don't know if you know that.
I do now that you say it again, but
yeah.
I had forgotten.
And so that was very – because my dad and Jeff were not just cousins. They were best friends at times throughout their life.
Yeah, they really were.
And that
– Well, and the brother too, though. I think Jerry – Maybe Jerry to Jeff more than Jeff to Jerry, if that makes any sense.
No,
I understand
that.
It knocked Jerry for a loop.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah.
With that, you were 21 when your mom died, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you want to revisit what happened to you when you were 15, 16 years old and how we got...
It doesn't bother me a bit. Had a religious
Can we go like a step back just a little bit further? Yeah, let's go. So you're the youngest of five children,
mm-hmm.
And just in recent conversations between you and my father, I've realized some things that you guys were dragged to an extreme church.
We weren't really drug kicking and screaming. We went willingly to a degree.
Because
my
with your
mom
dad.
Was not going to allow us to be at home while my dad was at church. Because is the fact that my brother also in recent years upon conversing with him on the phone feels that not only I, but he also was the product of unwanted attention from our father.
Absolutely.
And that's not cool.
Yeah.
And some biblical churches of different denominations or whatever think that because it writes or it reads in the Bible. I had a boss one time that I said, the Bible says, oh, the Bible can talk. I didn't know the Bible could talk. Hey, buddy, this guy says the Bible can talk.
Yeah.
That was Junior Evans.
Yeah,
okay?
I remember him.
But my point being that they believe that if the Bible says it's okay to have intercourse with your wife, really whether she wants to or not, is a crock of crap.
Mm-hmm.
That's just all there is to it. And
right.
I That's one of many different scriptures that I don't agree with.
Right.
I just have great issue with a lot of that stuff. But I had a religious experience, born again, saved in Don's house. Very intense. I mean, a lot of things happened that night, and it wasn't just me that heard it, but I seen more than I think Don seen.
So just just slowly trying to make the connections with people, I have Don Stuck, who made me an intern in 2002 on the Big Dumb Show, and how I eventually had my connection into broadcasting. That was 2002. Yeah. He asked me to be an intern when I was in college, if I would do that for his morning show. I had that connection because Don Stuck is my Uncle John's best friend. They grew up together, and he was, as he loves to tell this story, whenever we do any kind of broadcasting together, I was there the day she was born, and I saw her breastfeed. So that's the connection. When Uncle John says Don, he is referring to Don Stuck of local broadcasting fame, you know, someone who's been very successful in the business for a long time.
Until recently. Well, I'm sorry.
That's how broadcasting works these days.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah, and
He
always lands on his feet.
Yeah, but he rode away for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's not going to last forever.
Yeah.
You know.
You guys have been estranged for a while, too.
Exactly.
And we'll get to that. Okay. We'll get to that. But let's start where... Like, in my opinion, where things kind of got sideways.
As far as my mental health or me and Don?
Your mental health.
Yeah, mental health was, I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
Got kicked out of school for being overly zealous. I'd been passing out Bible tracts, preaching Jesus, and just on a whirlwind of newfound forgiveness. And I wanted everybody to know and love Jesus and so on. And I approached one of the people I felt and who actually was selling a lot of pot at Warren Central and told him he wasn't going to sell pot anymore. And he told me to get the F away from him. I grabbed him up physically, lifted him for a short time, slammed him against the locker. Uh-huh. And I said, you're not going to sell pot here anymore.
Yeah.
Way out of hand. Yeah. Even if he actually was one of the worst pot dealers, it's not within my rights to physically grab up someone.
Yeah.
And I'm not small. I was basically at 15, the size I am now. I'm a little heavier now. But kind of a long story short, he got upset, said, you can't do this to me. We're going to the office.
Yeah.
So I took off to go to the office.
Yeah.
And he, of course, cut off and went back to the parking lot or left to go to class. And I kept on going to the office and walked into the main office and wanted to see, I believe his name was Mr. Medcalf. He was either the vice principal or the dean of boys.
Yeah.
And they told me where he was, so I went to that area and walked in on a board meeting. I mean, physically, literally, like you see in the movies kind of thing. And I said, I've got to talk to you, sir. And he says, John, I'll be right with you. He had no clue till then.
I was going to say, you didn't have any issues in school prior to this event.
Not really. I was kind of I had friends in every realm. I had friends that were jocks, friends that smoked pot, religious friends, you know, even before I actually had my first experience.
Yeah.
But all of this got me kicked out of school.
Okay.
And while I'm waiting, and Mr. Medcalf had somehow, I don't know how he got a hold of my dad so fast, but within the hour, I think, maybe more, I don't really know, dad was there in the work van and took me to the hospital. And
so there was no in between. You didn't go home.
No,
they didn't talk to you.
No, I had to go to the hospital. I had to be checked. They wanted a doctor's release saying that I was capable of handling being in school and not be aggressive, see? So, but that's when, upon being in the hospital, daylight turned to night. I'd moved some furniture around. I was just short of hallucinating, not totally hallucinating, I guess. But
is this prior to your event at Don's house? Or after
the event at Don's, this is after, yeah.
Okay, can we revisit that real quick?
Sure.
Can you tell that in detail?
I was sitting in a lazy boy chair. We were watching TV. We'd been smoking out of the same bag of pot for all weekend, and people always say, it was laced, and you were hallucinating. I wasn't hallucinating. I just feel myself. My brain thought was so intense that somehow I potentially pulled those things in. I mean, Early on, someone had thrown a rock that hit the window behind us, but that was Jerry's or Don's first wife, a neighbor,
right,
that confessed to that.
Yeah.
But after that, we went out and raised hell and cussed and carried on and then went back in, sat down. And I'm still wanting to talk to Don about not smoking pot, not cussing,
like, going to church. Let's not do this anymore.
Yeah, let's change our ways. Right. And intensely.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why it was so intense. But with that intensity came a good size, not really a cantaloupe size, but softball size boulder, like a rock.
Okay.
And it was thrown. It hit the sliding glass window. It hit the concrete. It hit the wood. And it somewhat rumbled around.
Right.
And there's no better description than sort of like The Exorcist, the movie, uh-huh. The Exorcist. It just seemed evil.
Yeah.
Like absolute pure
There was a
evil,
presence and an energy
of,
with
of
it.
Of some kind.
Yeah.
But today, now though, I don't want to give credit to evil necessarily.
Sure.
But yet I feel like it was a telepathy, a mind thing that was happening because I was there's just no simple way to explain it. But after the rock came a three-hole brick. Some brick have multiple holes, and this brick was a three-hole brick,
uh-huh.
More solid, more
mm-hmm.
dense.
Yep.
It came sailing into the corner. It hit the wall, hit the sliding glass window, hit the concrete, and continued to bust itself up into pieces. And there is no physical way once
yeah.
it's thrown, it's going to do it to itself. It would have hit
yeah.
two or three times, maybe one, two, three down,
mm-hmm.
and it would have stopped.
Yeah.
Kind of a Hollywood event. The lights flickered. The telephones rang. Donnie's dad came walking down through there cussing, "What the fuck's going on?
Mm-hmm.
God damn it, just raising hell."
Yeah.
So I'm mortified about that.
Yeah.
And the whole time I felt, I don't know if Don could necessarily feel it or not, but I felt like I was under the liner of a deep end of a swimming pool.
Oh, wow.
I was being held and compressed and somewhat
mm-hmm.
protected from maybe whatever this was.
Mm-hmm.
And as quick as it all happened, it all stopped.
Yeah.
Well, his dad kept coming on into the living room.
Yeah.
And lights that were on is what actually flickered. Nothing turned itself on
right.
necessarily. So it was still very bright.
Yeah.
He turned on the porch light,
mm-hmm.
and God damn it, he cussed again because he seen busted up brick.
All over the
and
porch.
And when right? I looked for a split second, I seen busted up brick that was spread out on the porch.
Right.
And I was like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but by then, this feeling of forgiveness, this feeling of rejuvenation or this new Jesus found thing that I'd only
sure.
seen people do
right.
till I was 15. I'd never had my own experience till then.
Uh-huh.
And then that's what led in. Well, that very night, actually, Dad came out and picked me up
yeah.
at 6:50 in New Pal. And I'm assuming it was a Wednesday night, I'm almost sure. And so they was having a prayer meeting. And I got to get up and testify.
Uh-huh.
And I testified and just told, you know, how good I felt.
Uh-huh.
And they were looking at me, and I was wanting to do this really spectacular mm-hmm. speech of some kind.
And had you seen that done as a child growing up?
Hundreds of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't, like, physically remember.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty positive that I was in real diapers. But I can remember being so short
mm-hmm.
that my arms barely went on top of the cushions of the pews.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I would come down to the end and then go back to Dad. Dad would give me a piece of gum, a piece of paper to write on or whatever. I mean,
that beech nut gum,
yeah,
man.
15 full years
I believe
of
it.
Being in and around a church that's hardcore, to say the least, and produced a lot of strange people and a lot of strange situations.
Some serious brainwashing went on.
Yes, it really was.
Yeah.
It's a bummer to actually say it, kind of. But it's true,
mm-hmm.
and I mean,
and I can't. Like I've said before, I can only speak on my behalf. I spent a lot of time in that church as a kid myself, and I think that I hope that my dad doesn't carry any guilt from that, like not knowing. Like I don't think that it was bad.
I think he should be asked.
I should ask my dad. But in talking to you guys recently, and my dad being more honest about his experience with the church and his opinion of his father and all these things,
mm-hmm.
I'm realizing that I went to this church. My cousins, your daughter, went to this church with me often.
A little
bit.
Not
as much as I did. I mean, I know that as my spiritual foundation, unfortunately. That's what I knew. And it kind of was.
I would like for you to look at it as fortunately still, though. a little bit of Bible
teaching. It's given me
teaching,
a lot of perspective.
Yeah, I don't think a little bit of Bible mm-hmm. teaching can't really hurt anybody, but too much Bible thumping is not good.
I can't imagine being in that church for 15 years like you were. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
And David would have been 19 years.
Yeah, and my dad would have been, I feel like my dad was probably out of it by then. My dad was pretty busy.
Yeah, he did.
My dad was pretty busy by then. I mean, but I think that in my experience, this was a Pilgrim Holiness church that converted to a Wesleyan church.
Correct. And for years, though, they weren't actually Wesleyan.
They just claimed.
Claimed the Wesleyan name. Yeah. But I don't know at exactly what point they were officially Wesleyan, which they are, I believe they are now.
Yeah. We've discovered since then that this is a church that ruled with, it was not a loving God, it was a punishing God. That was my experience.
It would seem that way. Yeah,
it was my experience.
They didn't,
and it may not have been the church itself.
Yes,
very hellfire. Absolutely. Man, I can still if I can still smell that basement. That basement was terrifying to me as a child. Where they would have to do Sunday school, that was scared to death, and I wouldn't.
It was very unfinished.
It was just scary.
Rooms were massively unfinished.
Yeah, it was a scary place. Just as a kid, it was a very scary place. But I remember that the goal was always to say that I was saved. That was the end goal, is to get to a place to say, okay, I'm saved, because then you get to walk up and talk in front of everybody. And that's all I ever wanted to do, was get up and talk in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. And so I remember when I was like, and I'm going to say I was there with Aunt Rosie, actually. I don't think I was. Grandpa was there, but I was actually there with Rosie. And that's another thing that made me go there longer, is that I spent so much time with Aunt Rosie, and she would drag us every Wednesday and Sunday.
It's interesting that you say drag again.
I feel like she drug us. Yeah, she did it. And I mean, but it's not, I mean, I was the Virgin Mary in the church play every year, and my first boyfriend was Roger, and you know, just all these things. I don't have bad memories. I mean, you know, hanging out there. My favorite part of it was after church. My favorite part was going in the fellowship in the hall behind the church after church, and we would eat food and we'd run around and we'd play. Like, you're right. I should actually remember those times that I remember being positive. But there was a significant absence, and that absence was my grandma. And that's hard. Mm. That's hard for me too. But she died at a very young age. And so
she didn't go to that church.
Wouldn't have shit to do with that church, honest.
And there's reasons, I guess, but
yeah. That we've uncovered later, but
she did. I can remember her going to at least a couple of Mother's Days.
And
you talk about a good Mother's Day. I mean, I just felt good to have my mom and my dad, because it was always dad driven.
Yeah.
And mom always wanted to go do certain things at least every once in a while on a Sunday.
Right.
But my dad was overly devoted. You got to do with your wife also.
And he was, I mean, his loyalty was the church before his wife.
First and foremost. Absolutely. And that's.
And do you have an opinion that if she would have lived, that she would have divorced him?
That's a tough one.
I
do know that he talked about divorcing his second wife, which I never thought he would have said.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right out at Shelbyville.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It got to be a real bummer out there. I mean, I
could see where that would be depressing.
I didn't lengthen my mom's life by no means, being put in the hospital and all that done to her.
Well, you were 15 when this happened, when this started, actually. Mm. So you were born in 1964, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So,
they came to get me out of the hospital, and I'd already been sedated with Thorazine and Haldol.
So do you know the time frame between your experience at Don's house and you being suspended?
I'm saying definitely less than a month.
Okay.
Because I do remember being very zealous.
Okay.
I had
that time frame.
Almost a suitcase type, briefcase kind of a thing, or a bag of some kind.
I'm glad you still don't do that.
No, that's not good.
You do still carry a bag. That was my joke. Still carry a bag.
Yeah.
You have a man bag all the time.
It's a very different bag.
It is a very different bag. So you were carrying that bag, and so it was a month, and then
Mom eventually threw that bag full of that stuff away.
She did, because she just didn't want to see anyone.
Well, she thinks that the church and the religion is why I was so bad.
What caused you. Yeah. So you go to the hospital. Do you know how long you were in the hospital?
Hours for sure, because
not days.
Oh no! Ultimately, I was in there for 7 weeks.
What?
Yeah, 7 weeks. Ultimately, the doctor said to me, "Do you want to go to Central State Hospital when it was still open?" I said, "No, I don't want to go to Central State." And I stood up.
Yeah.
And if there was a button under the counter, he would have been pushing it because, yeah, like I said, I'm big, and we were in an extremely small office. But I sat down. I seen that he was fearful, and I didn't want to.
Yeah.
Snatch me up again. So right. I sat down and I told him, I said, "I'm trying to do what you guys want me to do,
uh-huh,
but I can't think like I used to think. I can't remember. I can't sit still.
You were severely medicated. Yeah.
Well, medicated, yes, I guess. But more so in recent years, I've learned that being diagnosed bipolar, not necessarily being diagnosed, but being manic, having a manic episode,
uh-huh,
it in itself can scramble your marbles, I call it. I don't know right specifically what it does to your, what part of your brain, but I know I used to be able to remember phone numbers pretty easily. I used to be able to remember people's names upon being introduced, sure, to three or four of them or whatever.
Yeah.
But my memory system to this day is not good.
Yeah.
And after more manic episodes, there's been somewhat more damage, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But being sedated with Thorazine and Haldol, a little bit more Thorazine than they gave me, and it should still be in my records, could have been potentially a chemical lobotomy. I mean, where,
wow,
I don't know exactly how much more you have to take, but I did learn that Thorazine can be used instead of like... One that flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Uh-huh.
What was his name?
In real life, it's Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson. They, yeah, cut him open. It looked like a baseball scar. That's, mm-hmm, a physical. They, right, take the part of your
physical
brain out
lobotomy
to keep, mm-hmm, you from being,
yeah,
anything. You become a vegetable. But it all done its damage, it, yeah, is the thing. And then, but to a degree, I've always wanted to be able to say this, and this is obviously the perfect format to do it. Being labeled bipolar done, mm-hmm, way more damage to me from my family and friends, mm-hmm, and being labeled bipolar for all, and now they don't even really call it bipolar.
Mm-mm.
And they still don't even understand the whole thing, see? Mm-hmm. And I've never been violent in my life, whether, mm-hmm, I've been in a manic episode. I've been physically violent to material things and buildings, but I've never struck a human being.
Right.
One time I grabbed my dad by the throat,
yeah,
and he instantly said, "Don't hurt me, John Mark." And I realized that I let him go, but I was just, right, so frustrated,
yeah,
with my dad being so religious,
mm-hmm,
when even at that time in Shelbyville, I knew my dad wasn't a saint.
Right.
See?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. But like I said, my mom and dad came back to get me, and
after 7 weeks.
No. They came back that night,
oh,
to,
okay,
take me out, but I'd been sedated.
Oh.
See? But before this actual sedation, I was told not to go down the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hearing growling like The Exorcist. There, mm-hmm, there's no other description but that growling she was doing.
Yeah.
And a girl, a very frail, thin girl, teenage, with long, dark hair that was wet, actually.
Yeah.
Not greasy, but wet because she'd take a shower. She got in a little bit of trouble, and they put her in her room and strapped her down. She didn't go fighting and kicking.
Yeah.
But then I hear this growling sound, and, mm-hmm, then I am just hallucinating. That's just, there's no other word,
right,
for it. I was hearing what I thought was growling. They told me not to go down there, down the hallway. Well, eventually I went down the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get to her door, I look in at her, and she leans her head over at me, and she's just sitting there strapped to her bed. And that's when everything stopped.
Yeah.
The hallucinating stopped. The sound actually stopped.
Yeah.
And I'm standing next to a worker in the hospital that's got a ceiling tile out that's using a drill gun to drill into the ceiling that I walked right past.
Yeah.
And I realized that was the noise. She's not The Exorcist. And I thought, hey, where have I been? And all this mm-hmm. craziness had finally stopped.
Wow.
But I shouldn't have went down there. The guys in the white clothes snatched me up. I'm arm wrestling with one of them that's holding my wrist and moving his two hands with my one.
Right.
I mean, total physical,
yeah,
zealousness or
yeah,
you know, pumped up. But they strapped me down to my bed.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm sitting there with both hands and both wrists. And, man, I mean, nobody would like it.
Yeah.
And I proceeded to scoot the bed to the door and was physically banging my bed, my gurney, against the door. nurse comes in and says, Mr. Prosser, you have got to calm down. People are trying to sleep. I don't care.
Yes.
And she went out, I'm assuming, to definitely get a shot of something, one or the other, or both, I guess. Well, I put the bed right back to the door and was, I mean, violently, absolutely, physically, violently smashing the bed against the door, and the door frame was shaking a little. I mean, but then here they came. So they're trying to get in. I'm keeping the bed scooted the best I can, being strapped down, and then it's against the wall, and then it's lights out.
Lights out.
Yeah.
But were you asleep for days, you think?
I know for a fact I was asleep for 3 days. I know for a fact. That's in the records. I'm almost sure. And it was 3 days to the day that I actually got to eat real food. But that specific night, though, after being, they let me out of my bed because Mom and Dad had came in, you know, they must have helped me to my chair, and I was told that I was slobbering. I didn't know that I was, but I was slobbering from both corners of my mouth, wet shirt, and that's what my mom saw. And then she was guilt-tripped out on top of everything else, that like it was her fault. And that was, to me, the beginning of the end of my mom. So from 15 to 21, however many years that is.
Yeah, for 6 years, you feel some kind of responsibility for the stress and what it did to her physical heart.
Well,
because inevitably, from what I understand, they went in to do some kind of bypass surgery.
I didn't help the matters. I didn't make the physical part. No. But I broke her emotional heart.
Okay.
So I didn't. She
you didn't do that by yourself, though, right?
No. I mean, she should not have felt so guilty of putting me in there because the school required it. She was only doing what was requested. But I will endlessly wonder what if Dad would have kept me out and prayed me through or whatever, if you will. But once the sedation... and I still have never talked to a physician, a pharmacist, or anyone specific about the doses and what actually those doses done.
Could have,
And or the combination of two is Thorazine and Haldol. But...
And after you spent 7 weeks there.
Ultimately, it was a long time because I just...
Yeah. You're miserable, right?
It just wasn't the same,
Yeah. And do you remember when your parents came and got you and took you home?
Actually, it was Dad and your dad. Yeah. My dad and your dad came and picked me up in that big black and white Ford truck.
Oh, yeah.
And I climbed up there and sat down. I was patting them both on their thighs, you know. And
in gratitude, and,
yeah. Just beyond thrilled. I mean, 7 weeks is a long time. It's absolutely unheard of now. People, you don't spend that much time.
Absolutely not.
In that kind of care.
Mm-hmm.
But
it was almost your episode happened probably at one of the worst times in our mental health facility history. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like they were just...
It was very green. Yeah, very transitioning, I guess.
Yeah.
But unfortunately nowadays you have so many people that are risking mental illness to get disability, but there's nothing wrong with them.
Oh, absolutely.
I would have to believe some people are wishing they'd never done that.
Right.
And... I don't know. I'm on disability. I'm grateful and thankful to Uncle Sam, not to God or Jesus, because God and Jesus ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm sorry, but they don't. Uncle Sam does. I'm thankful that I live in a city and a state and a country where I'm able to get that.
Yeah.
But I know too many people
that
are getting it that aren't supposed to get it, and it bothers me greatly, especially when they both make as much money as they make.
See? Right, right.
And I'm not going to get too much into that, obviously, but...
I personally know people that are boastful about it, about drawing on drawing disability and working.
That's just not... Yeah. But that stuff's going to become transparent. If people think that they don't know, they know. Everything's known. To me, the way it is with cell phones and the technology to listen in is biblical.
Yeah.
They do know who's who and what's being said.
Agree.
There's just absolutely no doubt. I mean, it's a fact.
Yeah.
But what do you do with all the information? You have to build a case, just like the Jared guy was on the news again recently.
Was he? Subway Jared?
Yeah, Subway Jared. And how long they knew about that. Did they really need to go that long to bust him?
Yeah.
No, I don't think they did myself. They could have built a case up at least half quicker.
So what benefits them, you think, for doing something like that and drawing it out?
Well, my thoughts on it was the people that are in and around that enjoy being in and around it because they're into it.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's got to be a scenario.
I don't disagree with it. Huh.
Just like I mentioned earlier about Sunday's paper about human trafficking.
Yeah.
And that place being known for extreme underage. Not just underage, but extreme underage.
Right.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That needs to be investigated and it needs to be stopped.
Yeah.
I don't care who's doing it.
Yeah.
But
when there's a price tag and people are making money, I know that sounds bad, but that's kind of the end all be all of all of this. Don't you think?
I agree. It is about the money. What about just, this is out of the blue a little bit, the Syrian refugees? I haven't seen or heard anything. I haven't looked it up. But last I seen in some pieces on YouTube, families, pictures of families, a man, a woman, and at least two children, withered and thinned from actual starvation.
Uh-huh.
This was months ago.
Yeah.
And it's just a picture of a very few people that have been starving to death. Those people are still spread out from Syria all the way to Germany, and God knows where they're at.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we can't fix everything.
Yeah.
But how do we just keep going on every day like it's no big deal when there's that much suffering?
Yeah.
See? And if there was a Jesus that's coming back in some kind of a rapture,
yeah,
who the hell do we think we are to be worthy of going somewhere when we treat other people the way we treat them?
Yeah.
And I just feel that a lot of things can be done.
Yeah.
But our government does not want things to necessarily change. They want to continue to consume oil, and they want to continue to produce military equipment and use that equipment,
mm-hmm.
See? And which, back in the day, like I said, when I was first kicked out of school and very religious and zealous, I was taught that Jesus was coming back, there was going to be a rapture, mm-hmm. the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive will be gathered together and be with the Lord forever in the air.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't believe that anymore.
Yeah.
I think that we as humanity have already made provisions to leave the planet when we are about to actually be hit by the meteor that's going to eventually come. Either a meteor or a planet is going to push or pull us into the sun. And biblically, it says we'll burn. It won't be a flood of any kind. The Bible says it'll be a burn.
Right.
And this is just my opinion, or my, I don't want to say opinion, actually. I think saying my belief, my firm belief, and if properly studied, it could be proven, the planet has came and went countless times, in infinite times. It started from nothing. It started from water and developed into technology, maybe cavemen, and then that was it. And then poof, it got hit again or burnt or froze.
Mm-hmm.
That cycle's been going off and on for years. And there's so many things with Egyptian pyramids. There's a canyon in the United States close to the Grand Canyon, but not, where there's a building that lines up with the pyramids on the other side of the planet.
Huh.
And it's extremely interesting
that
these places were there. It was it was a crossroads, if you will, sort of like Indianapolis is, but this was back then. And there were cities all over the United States, civilizations, but most people picture the United States being Indians, like woo-woo-woo Indians.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just Indians. There was very, very intelligent people.
Yeah.
All over this country, and it's provable because the ruins are still there. See?
Yeah.
And I've not known this stuff until recent years, and then being able to have a smartphone and study it more, it's just really interesting.
Yeah.
Which kind of gets in a more recent, I don't know if it would have been 1700s, 1800s, but if I would have been acting a fool like I was at school back then, they'd have burnt me at the stake.
They sure would have.
You know, if I would have known how to do some extra stuff that other people couldn't do, like making fire or knowing, being too smart, he's chock full of Satan, the devil.
Yeah.
He's got to burn. You know?
Yeah. No, I've actually had people, after talking and sharing my story about Addie, have sent me links to look up. I think it was Rosemary Kennedy, or it was a Kennedy. I don't know if it was Rosemary. She might be the mom. Don't quote me. But she, one of the Kennedy sisters was born with some kind of brain condition that caused epilepsy, seizure disorder.
Hmm.
They sent her to a hospital. She had a lobotomy, and they sent her away. They just sent her to be a vegetable somewhere, and she was that was it. Like she's the sibling they never spoke of, and those are the things they used to do back in the day.
I studied a little bit about similar places to Central States.
Oh yeah,
here in Indianapolis, and I don't know if you know, but Central States you can rent an apartment.
I have a friend who's living in the basement right now.
Oh yeah, if I had the money, I was going to rent at least an office, if not a place to stay, just to be able to come and go.
Oh, he shows videos of him and the communal showers that they still have set up and all that shit there.
Well, but they also have a single.
No, they do. Yeah, but he showed
going to get himself in a bind, I hope.
No. He was just like, hey, those showers aren't active, but they're still there. Mm-hmm. Like, people don't use them.
You could shoot scenes from one that flew over the cuckoo's nest, without a doubt.
It's terrifying.
I've never been there, but I've looked at more pictures, as many as I could.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But like I said, at 15 years old, my doctor said, do you want to go to Central State?
That was a threat.
Like, no, I don't. Yeah. But what do you do with the person that's not recovering? But I was not recovering because of medicine, not because of the religious experience. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it was...
They were making things worse.
Yeah. The medicine did. Yeah. The sedation made it worse.
So when you left the hospital and you left with my dad, your brother, and your dad, what happened after that? Like, just went back to regular?
We went to Emerson, lived at Emerson, definitely viewed and looked at everything a lot more appreciatively.
Okay.
You know, for
freedom.
Being held against your will for 7 weeks is a lot.
Yeah.
And especially lots of it still being strapped down. I wasn't strapped down just the once.
Right.
And then they have a means of putting blankets over you and tucking you in that you can't get out from under.
Damn.
Yeah. And that sucked very bad. I mean, it's like being rolled up in a carpet almost.
Yeah.
But you're still with a lot of sedation. But but I had taken my motorcycle apart that I'd gotten for my birthday.
Do you remember the time frame of this? So you were 15, and your birthday's in April, and you had a motorcycle. You came back. Was it in the summertime that you came back from the hospital?
That would have been my 16th birthday. That would have been after being 15. That's weird.
Okay.
Because unless it was my 15th birthday that I got the motorcycle.
Yeah.
But was definitely... No, that would be accurate, because the episode and the hospitalization was...
It did take you into the summertime?
Well, I guess, too, I wasn't only hospitalized the one time.
Right.
I'd been in and out of the hospital on several occasions.
But that was your first time when
you
were 15?
That was the first, yeah.
Yeah.
But one of the times then after, I'd taken my motorcycle apart, but I was able to put it back together. I didn't take the engine, but I took the engine out of the frame, just disassembled as much as I could, and was able to put it back together. But going from one garage to the other, Mom noticed that I was kind of back and forth. And she, Jamart, come here. Why do you keep going back and forth? I said, I can't remember exactly what I went to do. Well, slow down. Or I can't remember exactly what she said, but she really got after me because it was bothering her that I was going back and forth. So then I thought, man, I got to be careful. I didn't realize that people could tell that I'm struggling, And there's a show called Stigmata, which I've never seen, but the stigma being labeled and told that I was bipolar, I think, done the most damage of all. It really did, ultimately, because I feel that my siblings and my other distant family, close family, John, he's clicked. He's mental. He's bipolar, you know. And trying so many times to do stuff with family members to get some kind of a business going just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And then, like, the house. There was no way after the house fire that anybody was going to help me buy that house. I wish they would have, because it could have been bought for $14,000.
Right.
That's cheap.
That's very cheap. Yeah. That's true.
Kind of, I don't know if that's skipping around, but.
No, that's fine. So from the time you're 15 and right now, and you're.
53.
You're 53 years old. You've been in and out of the hospital multiple times. You've had multiple manic episodes, you know, all these things. What kind of toll on you do you think it has taken, like, or the means that you go in which to not let people know that you are struggling, that you are maybe, in my opinion, you can take medication all you want for manic episodes, bipolar depression, whatever you want to say, but that really just puts a cap on things. It doesn't make it stop. It doesn't. So you're still going to get, experience those highs and lows. They may just not be as high or as low. Is that a fair assumption?
That's true. And it's very true because it seems, and what I've even read a little bit myself, is the more you have, the less you'll have in your final years, I guess.
So you kind of paid it forward in the front, or
well,
what?
You just know what's happening. And myself, currently, they don't recommend any medication for me psychiatrically right now. They just don't. Yeah. I've most recently taken 1,200 milligrams of lithium, which is the high end for lithium. And I'm just convinced that the particular doctor that prescribed that when I was living at S&H campground, she figured I would probably just commit suicide.
Wow.
My daughter a few years ago told me that everybody, she goes, Dad, you should be glad you're alive. She says, everybody thinks you would have done committed suicide by now. And I said, what? She goes, yeah, everybody thinks you would have done committed suicide. And I said, well, what do you think? She goes, well, yeah. And I was like, well, yeah, thanks for the confidence. And that was as recent as being out at the flea market.
Oh,
which
wow.
was just a few years ago.
That's true.
Less than three.
So you just referenced, actually, you said something about your house fire. And that's kind of that's a huge turning point in our relationship, you and I.
It really was.
It was. So,
and I hate that happened. But I'm glad we're doing this right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
I'm just thankful
yeah.
to death that I got to come to Christmas.
Yeah.
And I mean, I never gave up hope that I'd be back in touch, and then eventually, and I'm still currently not in touch with my daughter and my grandson, but I think that'll eventually change. And if she doesn't want that to change ever, then that's the way it has to be. But I just don't think it's going to be that way.
Yeah.
I think things will eventually, you know, and I texted Don even the other day. I hadn't talked to him for almost 5 years.
Yeah. So is it today? Is today the anniversary?
Today's the anniversary of the fire. Yeah.
Okay.
February the 8th, 2013.
Yeah. Your house on Mill Street in New Palestine caught fire in the middle of the night. Is that correct?
2:30 in the morning.
Okay. Do you want to start with that? Are you comfortable telling that story?
Yes and no,
You share what you want to share.
Well, it's just that I actually made some phone calls yesterday and even this morning.
Yeah.
Trying to still talk to some firemen of different kinds to get to the fireman that came walking down the road that was in awe in the way that they were battling my fire. Because they weren't battling the fire, it was a training mission.
Yeah.
And I finally found the fuse years ago that was in the fuse box that when the fuse tripped, I took that fuse out, put another fuse in, went back to watching Charlton Heston in the movie Earthquake, and I was wanting to see the part where the dam burst, and the guy says, Inspector.
Right.
Well, I got to see that part, and just shortly after that, I hear a smoke detector.
Right.
I open the door up, and it's yellow like these curtains here.
Yeah.
And I thought, holy shit, that panel's on fire.
Yeah.
And I looked, and that panel's on fire. Yeah. And I was just at that panel 5 minutes later and took a fuse out that's burnt on both ends like a Roman candle.
Yeah.
And I had to pop the caps out to put the new fuse in for the heater, the water heater, and the dryer to work. But the dryer didn't come back on, and the heater came on, okay? But something, whether... I didn't do anything to that fuse to make that happen.
No.
And I can't prove by no means that someone else did, but I still want to know what happened to that fuse to catch that panel on fire to where and I have it in my possession actually right here with us.
Yeah.
And somebody put that fuse in. I'm just convinced of it. And the way the firemen came, the way everything went down, it's just not good.
It's not good.
The landlord would not do anything to repair the home. I done
your
everything.
House was virtually for you. You always, this is how you are. You kind of are an extreme optimist. You see the best in everything, no matter how awful it looks. And your house, and coming and visiting you multiple times and hanging out, I was just like, damn, John Mark, like, let's do something with this.
And that's what I've been telling people recently. I should have went ahead and spent my own money to put down some decent carpet, some paint, and linoleum to make it hospitable to my family. My sister Susie, and I don't blame her, she did not like to be in that house. She felt very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I can see why, because it was so unfinished.
Yeah.
And we had I had raccoons living in the attic that my landlord had called one day, or upon calling him, I think it was, he asked, how's your buddies upstairs doing? And I didn't have anybody living with me. I said, what? And I was always irritated because he irritated me. He wouldn't spend a dime on that house.
He's an irritating person.
Well, and I should have took him to court, like Teresa said. Yeah. My friend that lived there.
It's okay.
But live and learn, fine.
Right.
I mean, I've always had a hard time learning. I had family members that I worked for in the past that didn't tell me that I was hired from the neck down, but did tell other family members they were hired from the neck down, which yikes. I have great issue with that. You don't tell a person that, whether they're a grown man, a child, or whatever.
Wow.
Don't want to get too deep in that, but that's what was said to this person. But when I'd mentioned wanting to build trailers, this person I worked for years, a family member, was, you just got to come into work. You know, you just got to come into work. Keep the material coming. Keep the material coming. See, and would never let me actually do the job that I was keeping the material with.
Right.
I'm trying to avoid the exact thing, but
I know what you're saying, but
it would identify who it is, but
it's okay.
But by being, I'm so easily,
but that's
I'm very gullible for one, but I'm very easily swayed with a little bit of initiative and
positive reinforcement,
of any kind. I could go to the moon almost. Yeah. Okay. But with any discouragement, he's probably right. You know, I probably can't make no money building trailers.
But this is where your diagnosis has followed you.
Well, yes and no. As far as people helping to do anything.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted your dad to do more of a thing with you guys, especially with Josh being the male, teach him how to weld. He doesn't have to weld every day for hours on end, but teach him how to tack and weld and fabricate. And then you have somebody come in and burn rod that doesn't mind burning rod or burning wire to build trailers or to build anything, see?
But do you know why my dad didn't?
Because he doesn't want you guys to work like he did.
Yeah.
See? He wants, parents always want better. Well, what is better? Is it really better?
I think the time spent with your child is better, regardless of what you're teaching them.
And, though, I think making money, producing something with your hands that makes money.
Oh, something tangible. Absolutely. Tangible. I'm there.
That's very rewarding. Hey, I built that. Well, they did build a trailer. Do you remember
that? They did. They did build a trailer. I'm going to say 6 or 7 years ago, I ended up taking my own welding class. I signed up and took a welding class for 8 weeks.
How long ago?
Probably 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh, I kind of remember that, I think.
Yeah. And it was just, but it wasn't necessarily like something that I wanted to learn. I just wanted to have something to talk to my dad about.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I don't even know if he knows that I took the class. Actually, I don't even think we ever talked about it. So I don't know how beneficial that was, other than I can weld now.
When and if he comes, I'd like to sit in when he comes.
Yeah. I don't know if my dad would do this podcast. To
I
be
think
honest.
He will. I think I have high hopes for my brother, not just for him himself, but him within the UFJ to be a participant and a ranking member in United Family and Friends of Fat Johnny and or United for Justice.
Yeah.
And I'm almost pushing more the United for Justice because the whole fat thing is
shaming.
It's not good.
No.
People, when I had my little store in New Palestine that said Fat Johnny's, numerous women asked me to take that down.
Yeah.
And I said, it's just going to be there for, you should still take it down. They would leave.
It's a trigger for some women.
It really is.
Yeah.
But we were just talking about another word that's not.
We were. Yeah. Go. No, you can. You can be transparent and share if you want to talk about it.
Well, the word retarded is descriptive.
Yeah.
It can be used derogatorily.
Or demeaning.
Demeaning, but sometimes it's very descriptive of a person or a situation, you know, or something that someone done, you know. Driving down the highway when it's slick out fast, that's retarded.
Yeah.
You know. But this whole, people, this whole new thing, and it's not with just gay and transgender and whatever, but a lot of them are involved in and around it, this wimpiness can't be all that in a bag of chips. It needs to somewhat be put in its place. And if you can't handle people that are real and that can use the word retarded and other words within reason, then don't be around those people, I guess. I mean, we can't just become a nation or a state of people that are so wimpy that you can't do or say, but we already are, actually. It's already over. But that gets back to the way I feel about our government and other certain governments, countries already know they have a timeline of when we're going to pull into the sun or push away, and we're going to pull in and burn, we're going to pull away and freeze, or we're going to take a meteor hit that's going to put everybody underground.
Yeah.
And there's tunnels, the tunnels at the
I've read about this, yeah.
That they're going to stay in, or tunnels at the border?
I'm talking about tunnels they're going to stay in.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's just,
yeah.
The movie War Games with Matthew Broderick.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen yeah.
They go into the mountain and go in past the door and so on, and I can actually go on and on about that, but mentally wise though, myself, I've never been more competent with myself. Mm-hmm. I've never been more hopeful in my immediate future. Potentially my daughter, my grandsons, my sister Karen.
Yeah.
She's somewhat a hermit.
A little bit.
But she's not without the ability of coming out of that hermitage, if you will, and being at least out and about a little bit more. Love for her to be around. People hugged and kissed her at reunions. And even at church too. She had issues with church too.
But she was a very positive fixture of that church, and that's why people were drawn to her. She wasn't one of the negative energies within that church, and I think that that's why people continue to love her so much. That's my opinion, though. So your house caught fire, and you called me. It was on the news.
Do you still have video or pictures that you took?
I don't. If I do, I'm gonna have to find them on my hard drive.
What about video when I went ballistic about Dustin at Donnie's house?
I don't know who that is.
Well, we was at Donnie's house and I smacked my hand. I was looking.
I was there.
Oh, you filmed it with a big badass camera from the station.
No way, really?
Oh yeah. You know that guy's dead. That Dustin guy died in a overdose.
No, he didn't.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and I despised him. I was so happy he was dead, you have no idea.
He died?
He died of an overdose.
Holy shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's...
I remember
that. See, I let him come live with me while Teresa was still there.
I do, I remember...
Just before Teresa came.
I remember the stress of that, yeah.
And I should have never, ever let that guy come live
there. I do remember that.
He was not good mojo for me.
He's dead.
He's dead.
So after your house caught fire, would you say that sent you into an episode?
That night I was in my absolute worst manic episode ever. I could not understand why they weren't putting the fire out.
Right.
They physically absolutely weren't.
You watched and you witnessed it.
For 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Channel 13 had 35 minutes of tripod video that
just running.
Tried to get. But yeah, just running on a short tripod in front of the ladder truck. And not till the very end, once they'd vented and raised the ladder truck, then they finally put it out. It's there's not a whole lot I can do about it, but yet they all know.
Yeah.
Last year, I'd made phone calls. But I talked to my landlord, I talked to the trustee in New Palestine, which I might as well say his name, but I'm still not. But they know that I know that something was up that night, see? And then when the fireman tells me, I ask him, I say, the guy was doing my deposition, I said, I'm not trying to be a dick or anything, but why didn't they pull the meter off the wall when they got here? And he goes, they didn't pull the meat, and the house is lit up, and he could see the meter hanging on the wall still. The front porch light's on.
Yeah.
And Sugar Creek, sorry.
No, you could say that. No, I mean, there's nothing.
Well, the fire department that was there is more than capable of pulling a meter on a burning house. I know this for a fact.
Do you want me to pull that too?
I don't give it rat's ass.
I don't care either.
I really don't.
I don't
because
either.
I'm just there. It just, And his reasoning says that they don't like us to pull the meter because it loses its history. Not only was it not a digital meter, which doesn't lose its history, it was analog with the little dials.
Yeah.
It just stops when you pull the meter.
Yeah.
See? And then that's when I was scared. Right. I thought, man, these guys are off the hook up to something.
Right.
And I was mortified. The whole Ku Klux Klan thing that I've tried to read a little bit recently, and they try to downplay it like it's not that big
within
a deal.
Our town?
Within New Palestine.
Yeah. Now.
And it I'm not going to say it was rampant, but the house itself, I know it had cubby holes. Mm-hmm. And there was stuff in the attic that a raccoon or a person wouldn't put up there. It was stuff to keep children quiet.
Yeah.
There was shoes of different colors, but not pairs. There was pom-pom, that little fluorescent or foil-looking pom-pom stuff.
Sure.
And I know without any doubt,
yeah.
Okay, in what I seen in the way that house was built,
mm-hmm.
and I think in the speed that the house was built, you can tell the house was built quickly, mm-hmm. but effectively. But they kept black people there in the daytime, and then they'd leave at night. And that's where some people don't know, but the
Underground Railroad.
The Underground Railroad.
Yeah.
This is an old house. I believe I've never been to one, but there are houses that you can go to where it's trimmed really nice, and you push that trim, there's a little cubby hole.
Oh, yeah.
That would hold at least a few people, see? Mm-hmm. And you can see those to this day, but this particular house could have held a lot of people. And I'm sure that it did. I'm not saying that has anything necessarily to do with the fire.
Uh-huh.
I talked to my roommate, who I'm currently roomed with at Sherman and Terrace,
uh-huh.
that it's very possible that my other dog, my current dog's brother, Kobe, barked so much that he barked us out. They done all this to get me the hell out of that house.
Yeah.
Possibly. That's the only thing I can think of that would have prompted, or the house being condemned. I can't confirm time-wise, yeah. that house may have been condemned before I moved into it.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't condemned before I moved into it, it was condemned thereafter. And I, towards the end, I was living in what was a condemned house.
Yeah. No, Ed, I could see where that would be the case.
Couldn't have had $97,000 worth of insurance on it.
No. See? No, that would be hard to say.
Wow.
Do you think your house was haunted?
No, I don't.
You don't believe
in
that?
I believe in kind of a mojo type thing.
Yeah.
But if there was provable things other than physical people doing stuff,
uh-huh.
there would be accurate, clear, visible,
uh-huh.
no strings attached
uh-huh.
video and pictures. And okay. I don't think that anybody can actually produce that.
Everything's no, I don't draining. Know. I'm just curious.
No, yeah. I just – but I do know the crawl spaces were so deep.
Mm-hmm.
And the house was built not on a concrete foundation. It was built on what's called the hard pan.
Yeah, I remember this.
It was brick only.
Yes.
And there was mold inside. I mean, the house was extremely bad condition. And when I first moved there, I had anticipated tying into the utilities with my red bus
mm-hmm.
and just staying in the bus for a while,
mm-hmm.
you know. But then a friend of the hardware store,
uh-huh.
Older gentleman, Social Security, we found out eventually. He always talked like he wasn't on Social Security, but he was.
Yeah.
But he wanted to fix the house up.
Yeah.
He seen the potential, and so did yeah. I. But I wasn't going to do it myself or spend money. But I did. I spent 6 years
yeah.
paying $500 a month, or $600 if I had somebody living with me.
Yeah.
And I paid it faithfully, and I took it to his door
yeah.
when it was due.
Yeah.
See? But that doesn't count for nothing, see? Mm-hmm. I just got completely left out in the cold, and I also was told by the fire department that I'm not due any report because I didn't own the home. That's there is crazy. No report.
Yeah.
I actually believe that they didn't end up with any kind of report at all.
No.
Because IFD was called in but didn't participate.
Huh.
But the little clip on Channel 13, if you look up 40 West Mill Street fire, it still comes up online.
Huh.
And it shows the front of the house, but
I remember. I very vividly remember that.
Yeah. I had no clue we was going to end up talking about this too, but that's fine.
Okay,
because I don't want a bunch of negative publicity towards the fire department,
right?
But at the same time,
yeah,
the movie Backdraft with the guy from Walt Disney.
That's a bummer. Yeah,
you remember his name?
The guy from
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. Oh, yeah. Kurt Russell's in that.
But he
yeah.
was the good guy or the bad guy?
Dennis Quaid. Was Dennis Quaid in it? Do you remember him?
That I don't remember his
name.
Yeah. That might be the guy. But one or the other was the bad guy.
Yeah.
And there's good guys and bad guys. I don't care what.
In everything. Yeah.
Well, there was some shit happening that night because it just floored me. Yeah. But some of the things afterwards, sis, that happened, I mean, one night I was coming back to the house. A friend of mine had taken me to the gas station or to we went and ate and then went to the convenience store. But I had two props on the homemade door in the garage.
Uh-huh. Well,
But I propped it with one prop in the middle. Mm-hmm. She's right behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm shadowing the prop.
Yeah.
I walked right into that prop, and that wooden door collapses against me pins me against the fencing that I'm keeping the dogs in the garage with. I grabbed the fencing so hard, I was afraid it was going to tear into my fingers, but it just didn't, you see. I ended up pulling a BB gun on Don Stuck at the flea market, or at the hardware store.
Yeah.
He called my sister. They decided to call the police, which I just could not fathom that it got that out of hand because people at the hardware store told him it was a BB gun.
Yeah.
But some people don't know this. I said, was it a BB gun?
Right.
And I put it in my pocket, and then he left. And
so why would you do that?
It was the only reason I'd done that. It was a spur of the moment. I'd already pulled up in recent weeks.
And you two have a very adversarial relationship at times. Is that fair to say? Like you there's a lot of frustration, a lot of brotherly love and yet frustration between the two of you over the years.
My most accurate description is a very narcissistic on his side of it friendship. It was for him and he was making money, we was doing stuff, we'd done a lot of stuff together with the band or with the station and so on, and or building stuff, but he spent very minimal time in or around things that I was doing, especially at the house on Mill Street. His visits were hardly ever more than 15 or 20 minutes.
Okay.
Which it took me all those years to figure out. See?
A lifelong friendship.
But yeah, it was a lifelong friendship, but it wasn't always one-sided. But nonetheless, when the BB gun thing happened, as bad of a mistake as that prank was, when I'd go to the hardware store, if he was there, I'd turned around and left.
Right.
And two of the three times I'd done it, I didn't even go to the hardware store.
Right.
Which I finally thought enough, well, he's not even going to be there for 5 or 10 minutes because he never stayed there that long. So the third time I went ahead and went. Well, this would have been like the fourth time. There's his truck there. I just didn't want to talk to him. I thought, man, I'm just going to break the ice again, just make it cordial enough just to where I don't have to leave.
Right.
You know, why leave when that's...
Because you regularly...
New Pal Do It Best Hardware was my
That was your hangout.
Place.
Yeah, yeah.
They loved me there. I'd often call and ask permission to make sure it was okay. They give me clearance, you know, doing the talk or the text like we do.
Right.
So I go up to the door. He's looking out the door at me, and I went, shh, shh, like this. I shook my head, don't say nothing.
Yeah.
So he walked over to the other door, so I go over to the other door. I've been carrying these two empty BB guns.
Uh-huh.
One was a CO2 revolver.
Uh-huh.
One was a single-shot BB gun dart.
No, I know what they are, yeah.
I just had them.
We've shot them at my house before, yeah.
Those were the newer, actually.
Yeah, okay.
But... because of living in the house afterwards, being, I'm sorry, but abandoned by everybody. No, nobody even tried to talk to me about nothing. They just assumed that I'm a mental case. He's out of his mind. We're not going to help him buy that house. Nobody really talked to me.
Uh-huh.
Even the police.
Yeah.
Even my landlord, the sheriff that brought the eviction letter hooked it with the rubber band to my mailbox. He didn't hand me any actual eviction because they couldn't evict me because I wasn't even supposed to be living there, technically, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
There's a whole realm of things that went south on living there. But back to the BB gun thing, I thought, hey, I'm gonna do it to him. So the gun, the actual single shot's already cocked. There's absolutely no BBs in it. I've been carrying it for weeks.
Right.
I stayed around the house for weeks, maybe more than a month, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly. So it was already cocked, but I could re-cock it, and it had pressure, so it sounded even more real.
Yeah.
And I stuck it right in his right kidney, firm. Shit. I mean, firmly, and said, don't move. And I was just being silly, kind of changed my voice. And I know it freaked him out.
Yeah.
Okay, but I thought it was going to be a funny freak out.
Yeah.
people are on the cash register stand, the deck, we called it, whatever, and there's the church pew, and he moved a little. So I stuck it in his left kidney pretty hard. I said, be still.
Oh, God.
You pull a gun on me?
Yeah.
And then he said it at least five times. I wish the hell Clark could have had cameras back then, or he never hadn't even had cameras. Clark says it's just a BB gun.
Yeah.
He's still ranting. His fingers are up and making just a dramatic deal. Chet was on the deck. He says he's your friend. Clark's seen and heard enough. You pull a gun on me? And Don's facing me, but looking behind him to make sure people are hearing him. So Clark again says it's just a BB gun.
Right.
And then Don leaves. I pretty much, well, and then he when he said second time it's a BB gun, I said, is it really?
Yeah.
Because then I was irritated because it just wasn't going as funny as
his response was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I have to assume on this part, somehow he got in touch with Susie, and then they got in touch with the fire department. I'm still.
Your littlest sister.
Or I'm
Susie,
sorry. Yeah. Not the fire department, but the police.
Yeah.
Police come, read me the riot act. They said if I'd have pointed that gun at them, they'd have shot me, blah, blah, blah. But they kept my guns, and the revolver really sucked. I'd had that revolver since I was a kid, and it sucked. It was a good Daisy revolver-type CO2 pellet gun.
Mm-hmm.
So they took those. I'm still at the hardware. Don, I believe, actually called in an attempt of some kind to warn me that the police were coming. But I wasn't going to leave because Clark told me, he says, hey, Don said the police are coming. I said, well, let them come. I don't, you know.
What'd you do? Yeah.
I just stayed. But then Susie eventually calls me on the phone. John Mark, you're going to the hospital or you're going to jail. I said, Susie, I ain't going nowhere. I said, I done talked to the John Mark, you're going to the hospital or you're going to jail. And then my friend Go-Kart Joe, not Volkswagen Joe, but Go-Kart Joe was there.
Yeah.
And I was letting him listen, and he was shaking his head and like this, you know. And I thought, whatever. And I don't think I hung up, but I did hang up or whatever. But that's the bad part. See, I finally get my head together.
Yeah.
I won't say out of my ass. That's a thing a person could say. But my head wasn't up my ass. I was trying to understand why a fire department came and didn't put the fire out.
Right.
See? And then ultimately, there's
You're carrying pictures. A lot of frustration.
There's pictures now at this Hancock County Annex building that are way before the fire, but within a month of the fire. Then there's a picture with it burnt. And then there was a picture way after, but yet before they tore it down, there's like three pictures, see? The whole thing is just a mess.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm not trying to make a big publicity deal out of this. I don't want to drag the department through the mud because I know there's good men on that department. Mm-hmm. But there's also some bad seeds. One of the worst seeds out in New Palestine, and he boasted about having a black skull. And he's deceased now, and I'm sorry, but I'll have to say I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah.
Because he caused me a lot of grief. He forbid the people next door where I was going to rent a garage to let me put my stuff. So after, definitely skipping around a bunch, but ultimately the New Palestine's Finest came and arrested me, and I'd done 2 nights and 2 days in the Hancock County Jail.
For what?
And that's for the BB gun incident. Oh. Don wasn't going to press charges, but the state picked it up. And I ended up with a C felony over that BB gun accident. I had
What do they charge you with?
It's called intimidation with a deadly weapon because used it in a manner that it was actually a deadly weapon. So that set me back. I like to never got a hold of anybody. And I was so fearful that once they knew I was in there, they was going to keep me in there, which can happen. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts. If somebody wants to be kept in jail, they can be kept in jail, see? Mm-hmm. And I hate to kind of say it, but especially in Hancock County. Wow, this is a lot, but...
Are you okay?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm just there, man. Okay. I mean, I've made so many phone calls. I called Ohio again the other day and somehow got a hold of the same fireman.
Yeah.
He goes, Mr. Prosser, I don't know what you're trying to do, but I would appreciate it if you do not call me again about this matter. And I said, yes, sir. And I just hung up. See, But for early on, a year or so after, it was at least a year after, I know, maybe almost two, before I made any phone calls to other fire departments.
Yeah.
I called other fire departments that did participate and got the runaround and so on and so on. And arson investigation. There was two arson investigations, and I happened to be able to show up when two different arson investigations. How can there be two arson investigators on two different companies, two different days, totally two different people, but there's no report?
That's interesting.
It's just interesting.
What have you learned since then? Like with this, like you said, that's 5 years ago.
As recently as today, I've learned that firemen are not allowed to talk about fires that they've been on, she said today.
Really?
That was literally this morning.
Huh.
And I told her, no, I'm sorry, that was yesterday morning, not this morning. It was yesterday morning.
Uh-huh.
And this was a union rep for a fire department here in Indianapolis or whatever she was. She wasn't the union rep, but she was very pleasant to a point. I talked a little bit longer maybe than I should have, but she knew I appreciated talking to her that I've been barking up the wrong tree. There's no reason to try to find the IFD fireman that walked down the road because technically he's not supposed to talk about it anyway.
Right.
And again, I'm not trying to drag him through the mud. I want to understand what happened to that fuse that it could be so burnt on the ends.
Mm-hmm.
But not have caught the panel on fire till after I put a new fuse in it.
So yeah.
It had to have been some kind of a chemical.
Sure.
That came out. It reacted within a few minutes. Fortunately, not if it would have reacted in front of me, I would have really known.
Yeah.
And I think it would have pissed me off enough to where I would have calmed down and went outside and got my fire extinguisher either out of the truck or out of the garage. I just couldn't think of which one it was.
Yeah.
Because I'm literally heaving a 5-pound bag of flour into the panel and almost got it put out.
Yeah.
But by then it's burning blue and green just above the panel because of the way I had it wired. And then the smoke came in. And when the smoke, I've never experienced it. I've seen a few videos. I've tried to find videos. But that smoke looked like that screen of this camera just at this height instantly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
How thick and dense.
Yeah, and I thought, damn, that's bad. And I thought, damn, I got to get the hell out of here. See? Yeah. So I threw down the flour and went out because I heard the fire trucks coming.
Yeah.
And I figured, it's probably, and I could see it burning through the roof.
Through the roof, yeah.
But once they ventilated, and it just could have been put out. It's just, and then a friend of mine recently, running his mouth for years, that it was my fault, that I'd done it, always teasing and kidding. Not good.
Yeah.
That doesn't help a bit, you know. Yeah. Not being able to buy the house. I had a cousin that came that couldn't find the hardware store on 52. He went and looked at the house, then I think came to the hardware store. I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But then we finally go to look, and the person I think that actually ended up buying the property was there.
Now?
That owns it now. I think it was him. I'm not positive, but somebody was there, so we didn't even go and look because this cousin was going to buy my house for $14,000. It was a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
See? Same relative that was going to buy my grandparents' place.
Oh, okay.
See? And I'm still not without the hope of someday of owning my grandparents' place down there. Because you talk about mojo, you talk about having a whole new outlook on life.
Sure.
Back then, I couldn't have handled it. I just couldn't have. I couldn't have handled it monetarily, responsibility-wise. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have handled that property. I could handle that property now.
Yeah.
That could be a senior living and or a terminally ill facility for people, see?
Well.
And then you get rid of the riff-raff stupid people that had somewhat recently been living there until the lady put them out. But right now I'm at the little house at Sherman and Terrace, and it's panning out. Dan is challenging, to say the least, but Dan's had a very challenging life.
Right.
And he's never been able to blossom and be all that he can be.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm able to stay with it, I'm going to help Dan, with the help preferably of a girlfriend of some kind, Dan to be all that he can be, because he has tremendous potential.
Yeah.
See? And then I want to touch and do things with United Family and Friends of Johnny, with United for Justice. I want to have multiple, eventually, activity centers where people can come and go, like an activity center in a psychiatric ward.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat open to the public, but no in sobriety, No drinking, no drugs, no stupidity, no drama.
Yeah.
If you got drama with somebody and they're there, you don't come in till that person's gone,
right?
Or you leave your drama at the door.
See? Yeah.
And I've talked to so many people for so long about this recently and in the past. It's just a matter of time that I get a foothold in one location,
yeah,
and I'll be able to have more locations.
Yeah.
Like right now, I'm not. It's whatever time it is.
8:27.
You could, to go and be around people, you would have to go to a church, most likely, of some kind,
or a bar,
or a bar.
Mm-hmm.
That's the two main places to be around. I mean, there's other events, I guess, birthdays maybe, or skating and this or that. But I want to have a place where people are comfortable,
mm-hmm,
where there might not be a whole bunch of people, and somebody wants to sit down and spill their guts about how their wife's treating them.
Right.
Or both, actually both, how their wife's treating them, not just necessarily how the husband's treating the wife.
Sure.
Because there's definitely
female abuse.
It goes both ways.
Absolutely.
But you definitely don't hear about the other.
No.
I want people to feel comfortable bringing their children in a safe, wholesome environment and be able to meet people that they can mingle with,
uh-huh,
that come with references.
Right.
Hey, you guys would make a good couple. Your kids would, you know,
yeah,
and so on. My roommate actually has an appointment tomorrow at 11 o'clock to see about gaining a foster child or an adoption.
Really?
And I said, you don't know unless you ask
him. Yeah.
He so desperately.
Yeah. Wants to be
like my daughters told me.
Yeah.
She wants to have a child so she can have something that loves her as much as she loves it. See? And that's what she set out and that's what she done. But he got a call and has to supposedly, he might have to be at a call at 10 o'clock at Castleton Square. But he said he might push that off until after he goes and talks with the foster person or the adoption people. But upon making phone calls until recently, he never got through to anybody.
Huh.
But I've told this, my roommate, his best bet is to find a girlfriend that's already got a kid that can help with it always with the child and you, see? But then he instantly asked me a while ago earlier, where do you find that? I said, well, you don't give up. I said, you pay attention at a restaurant. When the waitress walks by, you say thank you. You mix
basic,
and mingle.
Basic human kindness.
Interact with people
and
try to come up with a way to meet. But I myself am interested in finding a friend, a companion, if you will, but I quite literally want and need Dan to have one way before that.
Yeah.
Because I'm okay. Like I said, I've never been doing better physically or mentally.
Mentally.
Now, physically is a little bit shaky because I don't really watch my sugar.
Right.
You know, an inch over 2 quarts of Tang in one sitting is too much.
You're out.
It does.
It'll level you. Yeah.
And I kid with Dan way too much that, ooh, maybe tonight will be the night that I fall asleep and I don't have to wake up.
That's funny. I mean, it's not, and I don't mean to be grim, but yeah.
But I'm doing it to get attention, because attempted suicide is attention.
It's a call for attention.
It's absolute.
Yeah.
Have you
ever attempted suicide?
One time.
Yeah.
And I've been asked by professionals, and I was actually out at Dad's in Shelbyville in the blue bus when it was parked. It wasn't running at all. It was parked.
This is roughly 16, 17 years ago. This is me just doing math.
I think it's longer than that.
I don't know.
I don't know. You think it's been?
Well, this is how I gauge it. Max will be 15 this year, and Grandpa died when Max was 1. So 14 years ago, Grandpa died.
Oh, and that's right. That's a good way to do it.
Sorry, that's,
But anyway, I stripped down naked, blizzard, whatever year that was. It was snowing and cold and blowing.
Yeah.
Turned off all the heaters, opened both doors, and laid down on bare plywood, or OSB. It's not plywood, but it's the wafer board.
Yeah.
And laid there naked and was going to freeze myself to death.
That was your plan?
And it was working. I was there, and I thought, you know. I was just thinking it was cold, and I've been in the cold. I've worked in the cold.
Yeah.
You know. And I just thought, And then I just literally kind of dozed off.
Yeah.
Just a light doze. It was probably just a split-ass second.
Right.
But it was cold, and right. I was cold. My body, my core temperature, I know had dropped. I don't know how long. I didn't time it. But I know I was there longer than – but you got to understand I'm still kind of warm.
Yeah.
But yet not. But I it was, it had to been between 15, 10 minutes and not more than 20. Because much more than 20, I probably would have went out,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
But then once I came out of that little bitty dozing, I thought, fuck, Dad's going to come out here in the morning. I'm going to be fucking froze to death.
Yeah.
I'm going to be stiff as a board. They're going to have to fucking deal with it.
Yeah.
And I just thought, this is fucking ignorant. This suicide is a positive.
I don't mean to laugh, but
it's a permanent solution to my temporary problem at the time.
Right.
But I had great issue living out at my dad's and Edna being around and making us miserable. Like I said, sorry.
It's fine.
I don't even care.
She
don't communicate with nobody. All that stuff that happened at the funeral, spending all that extra money at the funeral. My dad.
This is my grandpa's second wife, to be clear. Yeah.
And my dad wanted to be buried in a plywood made
box.
Box. He did not want to spend any extra money. But then a sibling of mine was determined to spend more against even his wife's wishes.
Yeah.
It's wow.
It is a lot.
I had no clue this was going to, but that's all right.
I was going to say, is there anything that you came into this wanting to discuss?
I just didn't know what we were actually going
to
discuss.
No, I'm just trying to give. Okay, so
it was a little bit distant.
It was very distant, but that's how I don't mean that to be disrespectful to you or to make you feel like you're out on an island or that I use all these terms a lot. I don't mean that. I don't mean to be aloof and just like, and I'm not setting you up for anything.
It's been good.
Okay. I'm glad that it's been a good experience, but I feel like, I went to a counselor this morning. Well, I went to therapy.
Yeah.
I went to therapy this morning. You were like, hey, what are you doing? And I said, just got out of therapy and sent him a picture of Nurse Ratched. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was a video till the second time I looked at it.
It was a GIF. Of Nurse Ratched. And you were like, oh my God, that's funny. And I think that moment in sending that, like I realized that, you and I have a lot in common.
Oh, absolutely.
We've always had a bond in an uncle niece way.
We've always been way closer than me and my own daughter.
Absolutely. I mean, we have.
But I've let my daughter down, and I know that, and I'm very sorry for that.
Yeah.
She has said, sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, you go.
But I didn't want her to feel that I would do the same thing with her son, my grandson.
Sure.
I would make all the effort to never do that with him. If I made plans, I would keep those plans.
Yeah, I agree.
But he's still under teenage. He's like 9.
He'll be 10 his next 10. Birthday.
Mm-hmm. He's all right. You know, they're right there. But I'm pretty wore out on not being able to be around my
grandson. It's a bummer. It's a bummer for everybody. Yeah.
The building in Beech Grove that could potentially be rented. My daughter could participate with that, but she doesn't want any help doing anything, or at least she didn't want to in the past.
Yeah.
There's buildings and potential property in New Pal that's actually available.
Yeah, there is.
I think that this whole thing will eventually be a good thing as far as the fire and truthfulness on my landlord's part, on the fire department's part, and the whole thing. Because I keep saying, I don't want to make a big issue. I want to know how this happened.
You just want facts.
I want to know physically. Yeah. And the thing, too, they believe because a certain person who's involved with the fire department knew, I was latched on for 2 years above the meter with 80 to 90% of my electricity.
Uh-huh.
I've all but actually told Power and Light about this.
Right.
I have an outstanding bill of $800 for the last 2 months that I was hooked below the meter.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think when they got there and seen that I wasn't hooked above the meter, that's when it had to get drawn out to figure out what they were going to do, because they couldn't just instantly blame me and send me to jail or whatever might have happened. See?
Yeah.
It's interesting. And I think some of the firemen, I mean, I've got friends and relatives of ours by marriage that have friends that were on the site when the house was burning. Not everybody on the fire was participating in the training. Okay. Some were just standing there watching.
So right.
There was volunteers. There was multiple departments. Mm-hmm. See? And then eventually, I called them white hats. There was multiple chiefs.
Oh, wow.
Where did all these chiefs come from? Why did they come to this fire?
So, right.
Wow. Wow.
That's interesting.
It's extremely interesting.
Huh.
And the little building the guy's got on there now is just incredibly cool.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's a green metal building.
I'll have to drive by and take a look.
Yeah, he done a really, it's a man cave. I don't think he's living in it, but it's a man cave.
That's cool.
But, wow.
Yeah, no, we, I actually wanted to share because I, in my struggle in the last few months, so you, after the fire, things got a little sideways and you and I were estranged for about three, four years, a while, a long time, and slowly kind of sent out, SOS texts here and there, just like, hey, how's it going? You know, da, 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 da. And I came to a realization today in therapy that, I'm going through another transition in a relationship and, a relationship that's been very important to me, and there's new things. And I realized that sometimes you have to level out at zero. Sometimes you have to bring things, you have to level at zero. And I didn't know what that meant until I talked to you about it, I think. So it's basically, it's a mechanical term. Is that correct?
It can be, but then there's below zero too, though. Like air conditioning works in a vacuum. I mean,
okay,
but yeah, okay. Bringing it to zero or tolerances. There's plus or minus thousandths of an inch. And
sure,
so
and that
I'm not really sure that you mentioned that earlier the other day. I'm not specific with the zeroing out, but
okay,
yeah, that's
in electrical terms. Would that make sense to zero something out?
No, zero power. No
okay, voltage. There you go. So that's what it would be. So you'd zero something out. Do I look like my dad right now?
I'm getting ready to take it, but I want your hat down. I was literally going to take a picture. I don't want the flash, though.
But we were talking about bringing things to zero, and that sometimes you have to, as much stress as our family claims that you have brought to us, I think that we were bringing you more stress. Is that fair to say?
Well, just stressing me out that I couldn't get nobody to go in with me on
and
nothing.
Do anything.
Yeah, nobody wanted to participate. Nobody wanted to spend any money. I think they all felt it would be a waste. I mean, Susie did obviously help for years, but it wasn't really that much or that great length of time. Uh-huh. And there was no big chunks of money ever handed to me or I'd had a decent vehicle.
Yeah.
When after the fire, I was at the campground. I bought a Jeep for $500 from a relative, and it failed one morning. So I was going to redo the connection on the battery, and it was started. But I didn't know disconnecting the battery would make the computer on this Jeep think it was stolen, and it shut the computer system down.
Yeah,
and I had no vehicle now. I failed going to Adult and Child, to my group. You got to go to group so much. Group. They closed my chart, which then coming into that summer, I ended up with a different doctor that put me on 1,200 milligrams of lithium,
jeez,
which I took for about 2 months.
Yikes.
I'd walk my dogs, eat, shit, and shower, and that was it on occasion.
Yeah.
Eating and shitting or showering on definitely occasion, not even every day. There's days I didn't even eat. I just went back into the trailer and passed out.
Yeah.
See? And there's a whole realm of stuff about the trailer and the condition of the trailer.
Right.
And then me being accused by my friend at Christmas the other day that I destroyed that trailer. That trailer was shot when I got it. It sort of looked okay, but the owner of that trailer knows that trailer wasn't worth what we paid for it, see?
Well, I think that, and even for listeners that I've had since way back in the day, since 5 years ago when I did Off the Air with Chick McGee, when you had your house fire, we did a GoFundMe and we tried to bring in a little bit of money and you know, to help you get something, to do something with.
Yeah, it was able to keep me in a motel room for a fair amount, I remember that.
Well, we hadn't talked to you since then, so people that have been around since then, I'm sure they appreciate hearing the story and knowing what they donated to in this moment, in this podcast, you know? But I just, I actually hadn't remembered that until we were just talking about it.
I don't know how I could get this podcast to my bus passengers. No offense to my listeners and my fans when I was on the Big Dumb Show. But some of them people are pretty extreme.
Yeah.
And some of those people rode my buses and they they messed my buses up, and they were disrespectful to police. Mm-hmm. They were disrespectful to each other. They were disrespectful to themselves.
Right.
I'm not looking to get back in touch with those particular people, but I had literally, sis, I had thousands of rides and thousands of passengers, my passengers in my personal buses. These were RV buses, not necessarily commercial. That's why I had to stop.
Right.
But I would truly love to get in touch with the people that wanted buses like mine. They wanted a camper. They didn't really want a party bus. They wanted a camper bus because my bus was very cozy.
It was.
But I want to do things with these people and talk to people about mental health, about relationships, about not hating your divorced spouse because just because they're divorced. Keep it friendly.
Yeah.
Be part of the solution, not the problem. And if you are, if it is a problem, then so be it. You don't. You can't force, but try to just be civil.
Yeah.
You know, again, we're going to push into the sun. We're going to pull away or something's going to happen maybe soon. It might be years from now. See? And that's the thing. I've wasted so much of my life physically sleeping when I've been depressed.
Right.
And I feel that I've wasted a lot of my life, my best years with Don Stuck. I'm sorry. I really do. Because it was so, the term is narcissistic. He has said he never twisted my arm, but nothing, you know, it was just, it was just one-sided. There's just anybody that I've been in and around would agree it was a very one-sided relationship. Being put off the show, off the big dumb show because of the flag incident, which I'd love to eventually go into, but maybe not right now.
I might have to do a two-parter,
But that got me put off the air. Don would call me, I was a flag Nazi, because me and you seen that first flag on English Avenue.
We did.
I had never seen a flag that bad a shape at a home.
It was really upsetting.
And then we started looking. It was very, very upsetting.
Yeah. I still have a picture of that flag.
I had the flag up until
you went and took it down. Yeah.
Well, but I kept that actual flag.
You kept the actual flag.
But I think at Post Road, I pitched it.
Oh, okay.
I physically pitched it. That's when I was living in one of my friend's houses on Post Road. Which I could never use the garage.
I got you.
The garage always had a car on a trailer. Sis, and it sucked so bad.
So weird.
And then I let my best friend's boys come and live there,
you
who
did.
I didn't need to live out of guilt. Yeah. I don't need to be so loud.
That's okay.
But I felt so bad that I didn't do anything with his boys, and neither did he.
Not just your own guilt, his. Yeah.
And my daughter, see?
Yeah.
And then I let these boys live there that I should have never. And then they come and lived at Mill Street eventually.
They did, yeah.
It was insane.
Too. Yeah.
And then the old man, they would turn their speakers on the floor and crank it up. He would flip the breaker off and on. They were paying money and he wasn't. And I ended up putting him out instead of the boys.
Ooh.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, so many things in my life.
A loyalty that has never served you. Is that fair to say?
Well, yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I mean, it done what it done. A lot of the stuff I had around there was because of the talk of always buying property in New Palestine, and that property was never bought.
Yeah,
I had cabinets for my own too.
Yeah,
but I wasn't going to put those cabinets and put that money into it because my landlord wasn't putting anything into it. See?
Yeah,
interesting, extremely, extremely interesting.
Is this so? When we have had multiple conversations, not necessarily on this topic, where we get loud, we get fired up, we come back down, we laugh, we say an inappropriate joke. Like that's what happens when you converse, when we have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Are you exhausted? Are you mentally exhausted after this? Are you going to get like me? I'm afraid I'm going to stay up all night.
I don't keep a schedule currently.
No.
I work a security thing on the weekends at P&J Truck Parking, Thompson Road, 1215 Thompson Road.
Is it really P&J?
P&J.
It's you backwards.
It's Prosser and John. I own half of it.
I didn't know that.
I wished I owned half of it. There is a really nice building for lease beside it, but it's $30,000 a month.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's plumbed for grease. Antifreeze, air. It has 18 bays, I think.
Oh,
wow. Drive through.
Yeah.
Multiple offices in the front. I mean, it could be a massively cool.
This is at Harding?
This is at Harding, 37 and 465.
Okay.
It's basically behind Hardee's.
Oh, okay. Now I'm with you. I follow you.
And I after all this, my confidence level is extreme.
Yeah.
That I'm going to get in touch with some of my passengers.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in touch with eventually some federal money potentially
uh-huh.
to help do something either at that location on Thompson Road or someplace similar. But the one on Thompson Road, there's a dollar amount. The owner of the property is going to leave this to his son. So he's not opposed to a 50-year contract and a set price. He doesn't want to take over the business.
Right.
You know, most people don't want to start a business at that high of an amount
yeah.
for fear the owner will raise the rent and take over the business. That's yeah. not going to happen in this.
Yeah.
And ironically, this person is a fireman in Brooklyn. I can't even remember the city,
uh-huh.
but his son is a fireman at an extremely easy location.
Yeah.
On the south side in Johnson County. They're firemen.
Yeah, both of them. Yeah,
both
okay.
of them. Huh. And it just, I just am hopeful. And John, my boss, technically, I work part-time on the weekends.
Right.
He wants in there. And he's not opposed, I think, to a partnership, given yeah. the right circumstances. And it just, I just would have never dreamed that after all this time and just a few texts recent months,
uh-huh.
and then you today you said,
yeah, we
this is all good. I think
good.
This is going to make good progressions.
Good. I hope it does. I was just to kind of that. I realized today in therapy after I went that actually our relationship has been a very good model for both of us in setting up boundaries and being positive and keeping positive people around us, in my opinion. And that's what I'm learning now, is that sometimes you have to zero it out, give each other a break, and come back. And I feel like that's what we've done.
And people can do that.
And people can do that, and you don't have to feel guilty about it.
Exactly.
And time does wonders for people.
It can,
or, you know.
And
some
that don't, and if that's yeah. the way it is, then sorry for the person that can't let it go.
Exactly.
Like I said about David and my dad and all the stuff,
yeah.
there's nothing we can do about it.
Mm-mm.
Absolutely nothing. And
yeah.
to dwell on it is just a waste.
It is a waste. Dwelling is a waste.
Period.
It is, but I just feel like there's been a lot that's happened in our family and in recent months, and that you kind of just have to spend the time and sit and process it. But my hope is that it makes us all closer and stronger. That's my hope.
And then some.
And then though. Some. And then
yeah,
some.
And,
yeah.
And encourage other people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, forgive and forget, or to just be civil.
Yeah.
Be civil with each other. Period. Bible reads or says.
Mm-hmm.
That we're all brothers and sisters in the eyes of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the very least, in the United States of America, and I say Mexico and Canada too, because it's all one landmass, kind of,
yeah.
unless you divide it by the Panama Canal. And I don't think there's any water across Alaska into Russia.
Mm-hmm.
But my point being, in America, we're all cousins,
mm-hmm.
aunts and or uncles and cousins to Uncle Sam and the American flag is what I'm trying to say. People should be civil with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get on somebody's ass on your car. Nobody likes somebody on their ass. Don't get on somebody else's ass. When you stop at a sign, I feel you should see the tires touching the ground.
I think that every
or
time.
Or the license plate.
I think that every time I
plates
stop because
and
you
tires.
Said that. Yeah.
This is going to lead up to me being on stage, sis.
I hope it is. I hope it is. That's the goal.
And
that's been a big
confidence.
Goal. It's been a big goal for you for a long time to have an audience and to have an open forum and to share these life skills, I think, is a good term. Yeah.
It takes a village to raise a child, and some people never get raised.
Mm-mm.
They're adult children, mm-hmm. kind of.
Yeah.
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
He wasn't perfect. Yeah. I know for a fact he wasn't. I mean, they let him string him up.
Yeah.
What the hell's that about?
Yeah.
I can go on and on. A system of a down, chop suey.
Yeah.
Self-righteous
oh, yeah.
suicide.
Yeah.
That's to me, is a very interesting song. I've tried to look up what they were trying to say back then, but
yeah.
I was never able to find anything. But my faith is in humanity,
mm-hmm.
in people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have or do I want a heavenly hope. I'm not afraid to go. If I do go to hell, so be it.
Yeah.
But it's just not the truth.
Yeah.
That is man-made. Catholicism, I guess.
Easy.
Yeah, but.
No, you do what you need to do. You say what you want to say.
It's just pitiful that it's they open threaten for them, and that you're going to burn in hell and burn and burn. If I have to be threatened to serve someone that's going to punish me, it just don't work. I mean, I can go on and on, I guess.
Yeah.
My whole bipolar thing started with a religious revelation.
Right.
That's what got me kicked out of school, was being too Christ-like.
Yeah.
Too zealous, they call it.
Yeah.
I'm fearful of a friend of mine, a very close friend, actually. If he was to go off the deep end, he might, or not go off the deep end, but have a religious deal, he would quit working and go do a mission and give up everything he's got going, see? Mm-hmm. And too much of anything is too much.
Yes, everything in moderation.
Yeah. There's a new show. I don't know why I would plug it, but I haven't seen it yet. But it's called Living Biblically. It's a sitcom.
Oh, I haven't seen this.
And the premiere's tonight.
Who?
But they're joking, obviously. But yeah. I want to see how close to biblical the biblical part they stay. Sort of like Big Bang Theory tries to stay within the realm of actual science.
Sure.
I want to see how they do as far as this biblical thing.
Yeah. I actually recently got a book that I haven't read yet, and it's called Post-Traumatic Church Syndrome.
A book?
Yeah, it's a book. Post-Traumatic Church
Syndrome. See, I've never hardly read books, and I should. But I would have to speed read them.
Yeah.
Just sort of hit the big
skim.
Ones.
Skim, yeah,
because
sure,
because just reading, I'm thinking about building trailers and buses.
Right. Yeah, post-traumatic stress syndrome. When I saw that, I thought, man, our family could definitely relate to that. But so if you are one of John Mark's past writers, or you're interested in investing in UFJ, the John Mark Dream, life coaching, any of those things, if you would like to email me at notterriblepodcast, and I will happily forward on those emails to him. Any contact, any feedback, he is open to it, always interested to talk and share.
And PG-rated pictures. I don't really want – I really don't, because I'm so fearful. Sis, this is what has really kept me from wanting to get – physically in touch on Facebook, because I don't want people to post pictures that will cause grief.
Yeah,
I'm not into causing grief.
I'm sorry. I didn't say anything about pictures, so it made me giggle. Sorry.
But pictures would be, I would, thousands and thousands of pictures. Since.
Yeah.
Three different buses. Remember the decorations on the buses?
Oh, you're not looking to make like girlfriend pictures. You mean like pictures from your past rides.
Yeah, in the bus that are PG or G.
Okay.
No X-rated.
I thought you were looking at like wanting to like make like love connections and have women send pictures.
No.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
I'm glad we clarified that.
I'm glad you did too. Yeah. That's what made me laugh so hard.
I still desire I'm all about peace signs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Me too.
I can't believe
I didn't
mention that till now.
Yeah.
I make peace sounds out of all kinds of stuff. But Craigslist, their peace sign is their logo still.
Oh, really?
I don't know why yet. I'd like to find out why. If anybody knows, I'd appreciate the information.
Yeah.
But I'm still somewhat determined of all the filth and ignorant posts that people put on Craigslist about sex and all these different things that's just not necessary. It's like there needs to be one more category for people that want to just have a normal date, that want to go to an activity center of mine in the future.
Right, yeah.
And just have a civil, wholesome family relationship, a startup, a friend. Mm-hmm. Valentine's Day's on the way.
It's on the way.
It's like on us.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say I despise Valentine's Day, but after a very limited Christmas, Thanksgiving, as far as my own companionship, it sucks for Valentine's to hit so soon. But it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the year.
Yeah.
It's not the end of hope for people to find a companion. See?
Yeah. I'm bumming about by Valentine's Day, too.
I would guess.
But you know what? Everything's going to be fine. And
some people might entertain getting the little grade school boy and girl Valentines, where you gave up boys and girls Valentines.
Yeah, like the kids do in class. Yeah, they still do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But someone might benefit by just being out in public and passing a Valentine to someone.
Oh, you could wear a sandwich board that said free hugs. No, not that far.
The hugs can be Yeah, too hugs much. Can be good.
Or you could just hand out Valentines. That'd be nice. Free Valentines.
I haven't had a hug like I got earlier.
You did for get, a minute. You did get a hug.
And I appreciated that hug.
A chest-to-chest hug will do something.
And it does. Because other people in my life, years ago, upon the first time, he flinched.
This guy who hugged you today?
No.
Oh.
Way back.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
His boys, at different times, I've went to hug, but I told them, don't flinch up. I said, give me a hug.
Yeah.
And they get, and I see, and I haven't seen them boys for over.
Forever.
All these years.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, I haven't even seen him since their friend died. That friend of theirs was an extremely good friend of them.
Yeah, I had no, I actually
but
had no
idea. But he
was
all about grunge and a lot of drugs and different stuff.
Wow.
And he, I don't know if he helped him or hindered him the most or what, but there was a point where it would seem that he hindered people more than he helped.
Wow. All right. Well, you know what? I'm just going to drop that email address again. That's notterriblepodcast@gmail.com. I am happy to forward all information or questions or contacts or photos, PG rated, onto Uncle John. And you've been listening to Not Terrible with Jess Hooker in conjunction with the Chick McGee Show and the Off the Air podcast, recorded in the Front Room Studios. This has been a Waco production.